You're listening to Engage with Andy Bush. To connect with the program today, please send an email to andrew.bush@comcast.net. That's andrew.bush@comcast.net. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back to Engage. As we continue our quest to learn about Canada, we turn to an expert on all things economic. Jennifer Lee is a senior economist for the Bank of Montreal and joins us from Toronto. Jennifer, welcome to Engage.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, this is great. I've always admired your ability to not only take information in quickly, but disseminate it with a sense of humor. So I'm looking forward to talking with you today. But let's see, that was a big wind up there. There we go. Soften her up before I really hit her with tough stuff. All right. Seriously, though, let's start broadly with the Canadian economy. You know, like the United States, Canadian GDP obviously had a robust end of, you know, the 2013. Clearly, it slowed in Q1 of 2014 down to about 1.2% from a 3% rate towards the end of last year. And as we now know, of course, the United States slowed much more than we realized at minus 2.9%. But let's talk about the future. What are your expectations for Q2 in Canada and for the rest of the year?
Well, similar to the U.S., a lot of the factors that were holding down the Canadian economy in the first quarter of this year are largely transitory or temporary. Mm-hmm. The weather, you know, throughout North America was definitely a big part of it. There was a fairly large trucker strike at the port of Vancouver, so that played a big role in holding back growth in Q1. We do see growth rebounding, probably around 2.5%. in the second quarter, and roughly just a little bit over 2% for the rest of the year. So we're looking at growth to come in about 2.2% in 2014, which will still be, you know, stronger than what the U.S. is going through right now.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's the old equivalent for the United States of, and this is something that I try to talk to my teenagers about, but it's like, look, if you fail the first test and you get 100 on the next test, your average is 50. Right? If you get a 0, 100, 50, yeah, that's how it works. So it's the same thing for the GDP. You have to start at the basics. So let's continue on the basics here. Well, what are the main drivers, of Canadian growth?
Right now, the main drivers are consumer spending. Consumer spending is as a share of the Canadian economy, it's not as huge as it is in the U.S., but it's still, you know, well over half of the overall economy. So that, as well as housing, which I'm sure everyone has heard about, those are the two biggest growth drivers right now for Canadian GDP. And it's a little bit maybe, you know, we don't want to rely too much on the consumer because, you know, the consumer household debt is still flagged as a risk for the Bank of Canada. So what we want to do is see that those growth drivers rotate away from consumer spending and housing and towards reliance more on business investment and exports. To get that, we're going to need, you know, a weaker Canadian dollar and, you know, probably stronger consumer confidence from the business side. But that is the ultimate goal, is to have that rotate away from the heated areas of spending and housing, and into, you know, the growth areas of exports and business investment.
Well, how's the outlook for CapEx? I mean, I know in the United States, for instance, a lot of economists that have come on our show have said this is one area they do expect to see a pickup. But so far, the corporations in the United States seem to be more interested in spending their money on acquiring other companies in other countries for tax reasons than they really do, making the investments in plant and equipment.
Right. It's almost a similar story. And there was actually, back when we had our previous Bank of Canada governor, who I believe accused of, the Canadian corporation of sitting on dead money.
I love that phrase, dead money. That's just, it's wonderful. Not dead presidents, you know, not the Benjamins, but dead money.
Right. So, and very similar to the U.S., you know, the Canadian companies are also sitting on quite the hoard of cash right now. I think it was about $630 billion as of Q1.
Wow.
So they're, you know, the ammunition is there. What they want to do is, you know, prod the businesses to start spending. But you need, stronger confidence in your own economy, and where our biggest customer is, the U.S. You know, there needs to be stronger numbers coming particularly out of the U.S. in order for, you know, in order to inspire, I think, corporate Canada to start, you know, to start opening up their wallets a little bit and spend. So in the meantime, you know, they are sitting on a lot of cash, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with having savings, but you do need to put it to work.
So you brought up the U.S., and we've been talking about it a little bit, but you know, since I believe it's, what is it, 70% of Canadian exports go to the U.S.? Is that approximately?
That's about right. A little bit more than that, I think.
Okay, so it's kind of tough to export to a nation that's GDP is, you know, declining at almost 3% per quarter. But I guess the bigger question here is, are the U.S., you know, clearly the U.S. and the Canadian economies seem to be joined at the hip, right?
You know what, in many respects, yes, we are. I mean, no matter what, it's like you just said, you know, the U.S. accounts for 3/4 of all of our exports are head to the U.S. So that old saying about when the U.S. Sneezes, we catch the cold up here.
Nice.
So, you know, we share the same border. It is true, right? And,
right.
You know, we share the same border. So no matter what happens, you know, how our economy grows does depend a great deal on the U.S. And so we need the U.S. To resume growing at a steady pace, at a solid pace. It's not going to, you know, we're not going to be hitting, you know, we're not going to be growing anywhere near China, for example, obviously, but we need much stronger numbers to come out of the U.S. But, you know, I guess any kind of growth is better than none at all.
Well, one of the big exports is obviously energy for the Canadian economy, right? So do you see, you know, in looking, you know, at your crystal ball, I mean, in looking at what's going on in the United States, do you see Canada being hurt by the recent U.S. energy boom? And obviously, we just found out this past week that there's been a easing of the restriction to allow U.S. companies to export refined petroleum products. So, I mean, that seems to be something that would hurt Canada.
On the level, it's possible, but not really. I think it's probably marginally negative.
Okay.
But I think overall, like longer term, it just depends on how the U.S. how U.S. demand will evolve. You know, over the longer term, quite likely, you know, they're probably going to continue. The U.S. will continue importing on net energy, and you know, who better to import your energy products from than, you know, the friendly faces north of the border. I mean, Canada and U.S. have almost always had, you know, very friendly relations, you know, overall. And, you know, again, we are a friendly country versus, you know, some of the other potential countries that they could be,
right,
without naming names, of course. You know,
well, let's see, Iraq, Iran. I don't think you have to go far for that one. Anything in the Middle East is going to be unfriendly to the United States.
True, true. And then it's, you know, it gets very touchy, especially something like energy that you are so highly dependent on. You know, I think it's you know, at the end of the day, disregarding all the rhetoric that goes back and forth across the border, you know, we are still, you know, the friendliest supplier of energy for the U.S. And I don't expect that to change materially over the medium term. But again, longer term, it just depends on how the U.S. Demand will evolve. But you know, again, little change. You know, it's just expecting that patterns don't change too much.
Right. So, you know, our show today is kind of looking at Canada as something that should be put up on a pedestal. Believe it or not, I know Canadians are not going to
say that.
I know Canadians don't view Americans that way per se. They think Americans have some kind of crazy view of them. But truly, Canada has done some amazing things on a number of different fronts. But why don't we talk about, from an economic perspective, what does Canada do better than the United States?
First of all, thank you on behalf of all Canada for saying that. You know what? Banking, I think, is something that we should be very highly commended on.
Right.
We've ranked as the number one in the World Economic Forum for quite a few years now. And that, I think, speaks for itself, especially given what the global economy has gone through, you know, over the past, you know, 5 years or whatever, since the financial crisis hit. And the fact that our banking sector, touch wood, is still, you know, standing up and, you know, standing strong is, I think, speaks volumes already. You know, you could also, we can be a little lighter here and say we're great at taxing people. You know,
in fairness, I would say the fact that you, as a nation, run a relatively balanced budget, that you don't and haven't accumulated massive debt like the United States, like places in Europe, I think also contributes to the stability of the banking system. But let me just shift this a little bit. One of the things also that has been very, very good is the policy by the Bank of Canada overall. And maybe this is a great place to ask, you know, what's the role of the Bank of Canada playing right now to increase or decrease growth? What is happening with policy there?
Well, right now, it's basically steady as she goes. The bank's main role is definitely going to be purely from a monetary policy perspective, and you know, they've been hold for a while now, and with but unfortunately the but the bank's leanings right now are a little bit more on the dovish side. They are still concerned about, you know, as I mentioned earlier, high household debt levels. Governor Poloz is still concerned about inflation being too low, and this is even with a few months of higher than of higher inflation, kind of like what's going on in the U.S. And but he still sees that as probably temporary, and he still sees that there's a risk of having inflation that's too low. So right now, what they're trying to do is just to keep monetary policy steady, at least until we believe sometime middle of next year. And at the same time, they continue to warn households, much like our previous governor did as well, that you know, household debt remains a risk out there, and at some point rates are going to rise. So you know, you can't continue spending like this forever. You know, like that's
right.
Sort of the overall thing. So they're trying to put the brakes on very gently, to rein in consumer spending a little bit, have it moderate somewhat, and just in response to higher expected higher interest rates. So that's basically what they can do, is just to contribute to growth, but more at a steady pace.
Well, in the little bit of time that we have left here, let's talk about the housing situation, because that's clearly one of the biggest risks for Canada, and it doesn't seem to be going away anytime soon. I hear what you're saying about the Bank of Canada warning on household debt, but, I mean, what has Canada done not only on the monetary policy side, on interest rates and such, but also on the regulatory side? What have they done to kind of tamp down a little bit on the housing market?
They've issued a number of regulations, I think four times in the past few years as at least, just to cool the housing market somewhat. You know, you continue to hear, and everyone around the world continues to hear about how, you know, warning about the Canadian housing market. I think it was just a couple of weeks ago that, you know, the IMF came out and warned about, and the OECD as well, warned about the housing market being a big risk out there. And you know, the bears have been calling for, I mean, there's a one huge bear that called for a 25% correction in housing. That has yet to
happen, right?
Yes,
I think that guy issued that call back in 2011, didn't he?
Yes, it was 2011, exactly.
Poor guy.
You know, and you know, I mean, you know, you can't foresee the future with complete certainty, but
no.
You know, as it stands right now, we believe that you know, the housing market will slow. We've been saying that for a while yet, but we're not calling for an absolute nationwide correction. The housing market in most parts of the country are actually balanced. You know, supply is still roughly meeting demand right now, and so that's good news. There are, you know, but housing, like anywhere in the world, is very regional, and so there are still some very heated areas within in Canada that we have to watch, and that's of course Toronto, Vancouver, and Calgary. Those are the three hot spots right now. But when you take out those three big cities, you know, I think overall nationwide the housing market is still quite balanced.
Fantastic. All right, Jennifer Lee from Bank of Montreal in Toronto, thanks for coming on the show today. This has been great.
Thanks, Andy.
All right, let's take a break. I'm Andy Bush. This is Engage.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. What do business and sports have in common? Both are based on competition, and the goal of each is the same, to win. If you're in business, you need an edge over your competitors. You need to innovate and improve. You need to make adjustments to stay ahead of your competition. Tune in to The Business Locker Room with Kelly Riggs. Get the playbook and the coaching you need to improve your business performance. The Business Locker Room airs live every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.